नमस्कार दोस्तों, मैं हूं गीता, लेकर आई हूं अपना शो जासूस या जर्नलिस्ट। दोस्तों, एक तरफ तो सरकार महिला सुरक्षा को लेकर के बड़े बड़े वादे करती
है। That sound from Khabar Lahariya or Waves of News. It's India's only women-led news outlet, founded in the northern Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. Since its beginnings as a newspaper in 2002, Khabar Lahariya has grown. Its YouTube channel has 545,000 subscribers, and it's also the focus of an award-winning documentary, Writing with Fire. The Hindi language film has been nominated for an Oscar in the Best Documentary Feature category. This was the moment when the film's directors, Rintu Thomas and Sushmit Ghosh, heard the news of the nomination.
Ascension, Attica, Flea, Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, and Writing with
Callum Borchers talked with the two directors last December.
Well, you know, it's tempting to say that the female journalists in your documentary are fearless, but that's not quite right. They actually have many fears, but they do their work anyway. And I'm wondering if you can describe some of the challenges they face and how they overcome them.
I think that's a brilliant way of putting it, because when we say fearless, it feels like fear is absent. But what's really special about the women at Khabar Lahariya is that despite every odd, they're continuing the good fight. So the region in which they work in is riddled with a lot of risks. It's a state with a very high rate of violence against women and violence against the Dalit community. So they are working on stories that are around corruption, around questioning violence against women. And so these things are not things that sit very comfortably with the powers to be. And so I'd say that every step of the way, it's risky.
Yeah, you mentioned they're members of the Dalit caste, and I don't want to just gloss over that, because folks may be familiar with another description, the untouchables. I mean, this is a compounding factor. It's hard enough for them to do their jobs as women. And then on top of that, they're members of sort of this bottom tier of society, Sushmit. That must really add another layer of difficulty to their jobs.
It does. I think just for brief context, the Hindu scriptures divide society into four key castes. And within each caste, there are multiple subcastes. And it's sort of like a pyramid social structure with the academics and the priests right at the top and the working class right at the bottom. And the Dalit community is considered so impure, they have been kept out of the caste system. And this has been a millennia-old practice. So the practice of caste-based discrimination is illegal in India, but you know, it's something that sticks with your skin. How do you get rid of a 3,000-year-old social hierarchy? And Dalit women have historically been some of the most oppressed demographics in India. So to be a Dalit woman journalist in itself is path-breaking, if not, you know, revolutionary in what the women at Khabar Lahariya are doing.
Well, so the opening scene, I think, really captures that dynamic with this powerful sequence in which we see Meera, who is kind of the reporter you feature most in the film. She's the chief reporter for the news outlet, and she's interviewing a woman who has been raped multiple times. And then we watch her follow up at the police station, where the victim and her husband have both tried to report the crimes and were turned away, ignored. And we hear at one point the victim say something that has stuck with me since watching the film, which is that your news outlet is really my only hope. Essentially, she's just hoping that there will be public outcry from the press. That seems to be the only way for a Dalit woman to get results. At least that's how she feels.
When you're a Dalit woman, violence is not new. And you're expected to bear it and expected to be quiet about it. And also, when it comes to sexual violence, there is this whole idea of shame and honor, which is universal. In this case, I think just the desire to be heard, to be acknowledged, is what we witness in so many cases that our journalists were reporting. And there was this general mistrust for journalists because it's related to corruption. And so our journalists many, many times are the only people that people would walk up to and trust.
And to your point about the corruption issue, there's a couple of scenes in which the journalists have to explain to folks, hey, I don't want a bribe. You don't have to pay me to tell your story. That's not how we operate. And that seems to catch some people off guard. I want to ask you a little bit more about Meera, though, because she's such a compelling figure. You know, we see her at a time in her life when she's already a very experienced reporter. But then we back up in her life a little bit and we learn that, you know, she was married at 14. She's got 3 children who she's trying to raise at the same time that she's also doing this very important and risky job. The traditional expectations on women is a theme that comes up over and over. And it really seems to be an added struggle that they have to overcome.
I think one of the complexities that we wanted to sort of explore through this story was the guilt of a woman where she has to make a choice between taking care of her family or essentially having a successful career, and how that gets even more complicated when you are a Dalit woman and you have to make these choices and the stakes are exceptionally high. And Meera herself is very calm, is someone who's very rooted, but is also thinking about the future. And is also very firm. So she has this very interesting dynamic and a way of sort of navigating the world, which we found very compelling and something that had to be presented to the world. There is a certain weight in her presence as a person. And she instinctively drew both Rintu and me to her.
Well, Meera, her compelling nature is undeniable. There's a sequence that really stands out to me. In one scene, we see a news conference where she's putting some really tough questions to a police official. And afterward, a male reporter like takes her aside and tells her she's doing her job wrong. She should have asked easy questions or even flattering questions first. His delivery is totally patronizing. But I noticed that in the next scene, Meera kind of adopts his strategy when she's interviewing the leader of this vigilante group. She begins by remarking that the group is being taken much more seriously than it has in the past. And that seems to kind of get the conversation flowing. And my takeaway was it seems like these journalists, and Meera in particular, have remarkably thick skins, Rintu. I mean, they're able to pick up tips and lessons even from people who don't treat them with respect.
You know, they're such smart negotiators and people who really know how to read a room. And mostly the only people in a space who are most unwelcome. So when that's the circumstance in which you are working, how do you negotiate? The mansplaining, the oppressive nature of patriarchy. So it's really about getting to know the person and creating a space where the person will talk to you.
Yeah, they're remarkably savvy and they've evolved with the time. So, Shmeet, there's a scene that really resonated with me. Of course, many of the experiences these women have are things I cannot relate to, but there is a scene where they're talking about, we're going digital. This is in 2016. We're going online. We're not just going to be a print newspaper anymore. And I thought, I've sat through these kinds of meetings myself at a newspaper in the late aughts. And it's been a double-edged sword for them, right? We see some of the women really struggling. They don't use smartphones at home, so learning how to use it as a reporting tool in some cases is really challenging, but it's also the thing that has allowed them to reach a much bigger audience than they would have when they set out 20 years ago.
Absolutely. And it was such a smart move because India, after China, has the largest mobile phone penetration in the world, one of the largest mobile phone markets. And as you see in the film, you might not have electricity at home, but you will definitely have a mobile phone connection. And I think that's the wave that the women essentially wanted to ride on. They knew that there was a huge potential to augment the viewership and, more importantly, democratize the viewership, because when they were running a print edition, they were doing roughly 5,000 prints every 2 weeks. The consumers were mostly men, because usually women in these parts would not be lettered. But the moment they shifted to digital, more and more women started consuming the news. And so in that sense, that kind of equalized the ratio of men and women who were consuming the news at Khabar Lahariya. And of course, the kind of newsmaking that they've been doing, the authenticity of their newsmaking, there's a huge reach for it.
I have to wonder, though, Rintu, as you were following these journalists around the country, you go with them into some dicey situations. Did you ever worry about their safety? Did you want to intervene at times? Or did you suspect sometimes that maybe things would have gone differently if your cameras hadn't been rolling?
Quite the opposite. It's because of them that we got so much access, trust, and we stayed protected. And there were many situations which got tricky. And our way of functioning was we would always tell them, tell us if you would want us to not join or roll the camera, and we won't. You know, it's one thing to see a violent situation. Their phones have been snatched. They get threatening calls to pull down a story and all of that. What we really wanted to communicate through the film is, how do you work in a situation where every day is a risk? Every day you step out of your house, you can be made invisible. How do you show everyday violence without showing a drop of blood? that is really the climate of fear in which they work on an everyday basis, is what we wanted to communicate, because that's when their courage becomes special. You work despite all the odds and you make it look like this is the only option.
Your film captures a period in their reporting pre-pandemic. So, Shmeet, I'm wondering how the last couple of years may have changed things for Kabar Lahria and what you think may come next.
Explosive growth is what they have witnessed. So while most of the other mainstream press, which is manned by upper caste men, was sort of hustling and trying to figure out how to manage during the pandemic, these women essentially were already sort of reporting from the ground. So they've witnessed more growth, more traffic on their site, and a bigger team. They're only doing well.
Sounds like you may have material for a sequel.
Absolutely.
That's Sushmeet Ghosh and Rintu Thomas, makers of the new documentary, Writing with Fire. Thanks to both of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. This was a pleasure.